the dominatrix grandma, that was disturbing, man. That was very disturbing. All right, you can go ahead and hit the button.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 47 of the MGTOWN Podcast, the only source for producers who forget to hit the record button. As always, I'm the aforementioned producer, Tim. And joining me is the mayor of MGTOWN and tech wizard, tech god, Drexel. Say hi.
I'll say hi twice. Once for the time that you forgot to hit the damn recorder, and then again, hello, hello.
God damn it. So, yeah, we're doing... Hey, this time we caught it in the first 10 minutes, so that...
Yeah. Yeah, that's good for something. Improvement, yeah. Man. It's the little things, right? It's the little things.
Yeah. Well, try to fuck up just a little bit less every week.
Right? Eventually, you'll be like, no, the camera won't be on, the recorder won't be on, the guest won't be on. We'll figure it. It'll be a ghost show. Yeah. Kind of like Lily Singh's show, right? Like, just nothing.
Yeah. The tech in this show has gotten exponentially more complicated, and I think it's starting to break me.
Oof.
Because now, like, I have three computers running now, right? I've got the main one that handles the live stream, the recording, and you and me talking. My second computer here handles the soundboard and emails and voicemails. And then the third one takes the audio from the live video feed and pipes it back into the $10 Patreons and subscribe stars. Everyone in the chat saying they'll do it for free.
Oh, man, I tell you.
You do this job for free, I'm telling you, you'd get sick of it very quickly.
Right? You know, so Tim, so everything that you do on the show, right? Imagine doing all this in China. You'd be doing it for free forever.
Yep.
That, by threat of a bullet. Like, hey, Tim,
I'd rather
you're gonna
take
do this.
A bullet.
Yeah, seriously, look. What?
They'd
okay.
Have
what?
They'd have to put the anti-suicide net around my garage here.
Yep. Well, think of it like this: if you were going to sit in a place like that, right? And what do you think the percentage is of people that would just say, "Give me the bullet," before they would say, "All right, we better fix something"? What do you think that percentage is?
I don't know, probably 66%.
You think that many?
I think 2/3 would bite it.
No. Here's what I'm saying.
Okay, so right away or give it
a
month?
I'm saying, so right away, let's say there's 100 people, right? And they say, hey, do this. And the guy goes like this. No. Boom, shoot him. Next person. Do this. No. Boom. How many people did you maybe get to?
Yeah,
there? Like, wait a minute.
99 would, right? The first guy would say no, get shot, and the rest would do it.
I'm saying, how many, if everyone was the same as the guy number one, how many do you think they could go down? You see what I'm saying? If every guy were the first guy, right? Boom, shoot him. Next guy, boom, shoot him. Third guy, boom, shoot him. They'd be like, wait, no way the fourth guy's going to say it. Yeah. Eventually, you're going to sit there and look like, so if that 100 represents the 100% of the population, what percent do you think they'll do? Remember, all these people said that they would rather take the bullet, right?
Yeah.
So what percentage before they stop and say, we better do something different because this isn't going to work? Because if you get rid of everybody, you're done.
Well, if it's the Chinese government, all they'll do is just make another Mother's Day so that there's an, you know, the simp factory keeps churning out.
I know, dude. Wait, you did see the picture of that simp, right? The simp meme?
Yeah. You're like, hey, is that you?
Oh, this bitch made
simps. He looks great. Yeah, I know, right?
Looks great.
At least physically.
Well, the thing is, Even in this show, like we were saying before, we had to hit the record bot. You know, it was actually, of all people, Jordan Peterson is actually the one who, Dr. Jordan Peterson, make sure I give him his due respect. Dr. Jordan Peterson is actually the one who inspired this show because there's a video that he has on a lecture that he did on the necessity of virtue, right? Look that up. It has like millions of views. Dr. Jordan Peterson, Necessity of Virtue. And I started thinking about virtues and values and the necessity of those, right? And how they are both the solution and the problem. You see what I'm saying? And I started like analyzing this. I started sitting down thinking like, okay, the things that we put value into, right? How are the things that we put value into, what effects do they have on an individual level, on a, you know, local level, on a global level? You know, like there's levels to all this. And also, it kind of does something to your soul too, because that's why, you know, if you go out to some rural village, you know, there's always that old saying, Tim, right? It takes a village to raise a child. And, you know, you've been out where Nick lives, right? You know what that's like.
Didn't say that?
Well, we don't acknowledge her. We don't acknowledge that creature. The thing is, though,
a village to please her husband. That's what.
Yeah, right. Or Trudeau's mom, right? A village to please her. The thing about this is that we're at this tipping point. Like I've told you guys, you know, obviously I've done shows that discussing health, just talking about the deep state. And also, you know, people are always like, well, you guys never offer solutions. It's so doom-pilled. So I was like, look, it's time to discuss the preservation of values and virtues and what needs to get passed on. Because, Tim, in thinking about Dr. Jordan Peterson, you and I know a particular game that, okay, when it came out, obviously I'm a little older than you, but you would have been a teenager when this game came out. Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, right?
Yep.
Okay, do you remember the very end of the game, right? Very, very end, after you beat Solidus on Federal Hall. And Snake has the long monologue, right, about what to pass on and blah, 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 right? Okay, when you first saw that, what did it mean to you?
I thought he meant literally.
Like, yeah, right?
Passing
on your genes in terms of, like...
Metal Gear Solid 1 was all about genes and genetics, and, right, your genes do not determine your fate. That was the whole message of Metal Gear Solid 1.
That was, yep.
So I thought, you know, young me, I was like, oh, I thought they're making a callback to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt that same way. I remember like playing through the game and being like, okay, they're kind of doing a callback to Metal Gear Solid 1 when Snake rescues Meryl. And obviously Naomi Hunter was the big one behind the whole gene thing, because the people who are most obsessed with genes in part one was Naomi Hunter and Liquid Snake, right? They're the two most obsessed characters in the game. One was, and think about it, Tim, both of them were driven by revenge, right?
Oh, yeah.
Naomi had revenge on Snake. Liquid had revenge on Snake, right? So I started thinking about that.
It would be
right?
really difficult to, like, I can't hang that one on Liquid, though, because...
he was manipulated.
First of all, you have to understand that the circumstances of his birth could not be reproduced today, right?
No.
There's no fucking hell in way that would happen.
Well, unless it's in a certain country, but we're not going to say which country that is.
Okay. But, like, if it did happen, no one would ever know about it.
Agreed.
Right.
Yeah.
So we can't look at any real life example and say, well, no, he should have acted this way. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to come down too hard on Eli.
Right. Well, actually, you know what? Do you know what the real life example we have in a different way is? Okay. Look at the insecurity and combativeness of certain celebrities that we all have questioned their parentage. Prime example, Khloe Kardashian, right? The Kardashian doesn't look like the rest of them. How about Prince Harry? Right.
Or Justin Trudeau.
Or Justin Trudeau. Right. So Tim, imagine what that does to you over time. When people are looking at you like, especially Prince Harry, right? People are looking at Prince Harry, bro, and they're like, yo, you are not of the royal bloodline, bro. Like, we're looking at you like, yeah, it's not you. And that will have an effect on you. When you know, you are literally, he is literally the redheaded stepchild, right?
Yeah.
Anyone out there who doesn't think that that's going to have an effect on you, right? And your self-esteem, blah, blah, blah. How is it that he married Meghan Markle and, of course, Prince William marries Kate Middleton, right? One of them acts like a royal. William acts like a royal, right? What does Harry act like, Tim?
Simp.
Simp. The simp. Simp stepbrother, like the begotten son. Like, okay, well... The things that Prince Harry put value into, right? Think about it. When he didn't put value into his friends, right? He didn't put value into family. Doesn't matter. Like I said, family goes deeper than just, you know, your bloodline, you know, William is your brother. Even if, you know, everything else is all messed up, at least you guys share the same mom. So you at least know he's your blood brother, right?
I mean, Nick is your family.
Yeah. I address Nick's kids like my own. Like I said, they are the only in my house. I have no artwork other than the things that my mom literally, you know, when she visited, was like, no, this house needs something. So I bought you a painting. Other than that, the only pictures I actually have in my house are of my one daughter and Nick's kids, right? Nick's five. That's literally it in the entire house, right? And
oh, I can imagine these damn kids. How hard would it have been to get all five of them to stand still to take a photo?
Yeah, no, well, it's their like school pictures, like littered on my refrigerator. No. Yeah, yeah.
I thought maybe you had like a family photo.
Oh, no.
Of the Racketeers. No.
Oh yeah, you're getting all these kids to stand still and be nice and calm. Yeah, try that with six kids lined up, right? Well, yeah. The way I think about this, right, in preserving these values, preserving, you know, the virtues that we have, right? When Dr. Jordan Peterson is talking about this, I look at it starting with the woman, right? Because women are the first teachers of culture, and if you start to think about just the way that kids grow up, we're talking about obviously this is in regards to a nuclear family, right? And of course, as I get through this episode, we'll talk about the perversion of this, right? Discipline. Hey, Tim, Chris Rock talked about this. He said, do you know why we got these kids running amok acting crazy? Because, you know, they have no fear anymore, right? Do you know what most kids were meant to fear? Wait till your dad gets home, right?
Yep. Don't make me call your father.
Don't make me call your father.
A couple times.
And when you hear that, kids are like, They shaped up real quick, right? Because they knew whatever discipline your mom could do, especially with boys, dad could break that ass off. For those of you, like I said, shout out to my man Ty Beard. When we were talking about, you know, when dads had you walk to go get your own switch, dads could light you up, man, and they would take delight in doing it. You know what I'm saying? And women teach this culture about discipline, about order, because ultimately, it is through that deferring to the father. So prime example, dad gets home, Tim. Who's the head of the household? Who's also the head of the table? Who sits there? Who's teaching the kids that you know, this? The reason why we're waiting to eat is because there's someone who provides this, right? The person who provides us this food, we have to wait for him to get out of the shower after work and then come and sit down with us, right? And he's at the head of the table. So kids realize, oh, I have to answer to mom. And mom answers to dad. And dad, if we step out of line and mom now defers, goes, all right, husband, the kids were doing X, Y, and Z today, right? And then discipline would get brought out, right? If you read Trump's background, this is how, you know, his dad would come home and ask, you know, how are the kids doing, right? You know, who got in trouble? So he was harsh. Fred Trump was harsh with discipline. Harsh.
There was a moment of purity, though, where dad would get home and mom would say, you know, your kid was, and she always said, your kid.
Yep.
Your kid.
Your son.
Did this. And then your dad is like, what's the big deal? There was a couple of things where he'd let you off on.
Everybody knows this. Every boy, especially. If you got into a fight, you call dad. If you got into a verbal issue, you always call mom. Everyone knew this is well known. Yeah. And the reason why I bring this up, right? Like, you know, the big piece of chicken. Chris Rock talked about that. Who gets the big piece? Dad. Whoever provides is the one who eats first. Okay? So when you guys start to think about, you know, the necessity, the preservation of these values, of these virtues, you know, the, you know, deference, compassion, all these things that do matter, there is a social order, okay? And there are rules extended from this social order. And it used to go deeper, Tim, even to criminals. So I want you guys to think, for those of you guys who are movie buffs like I am, and especially if you like the crime genre, for those of you who have ever seen the movie Heat with Pacino and De Niro, their first pairing, to me, the only one that really is legitimate, right? I don't acknowledge Righteous Kill and all that other garbage. When Heat came out in 1995, right, we're looking at the master thief versus the determined LA detective, right? In the movie, you're going to notice that this dude has a code, right? And do you know what? The first time we see this nice, calm, cool character, the first time we see him enraged is when a rogue thief that they, you know, picked up along for the job, Wangro, shoots a cop, yes, a cop of all people, right? Which is technically your enemy if you're a professional thief. He is enraged that this rogue cowboy shoots, basically, you know, essentially an unarmed man, right? And he is livid about this, right? Because the job is to do what? The job is to knock over the armored truck, get the money, and leave, right? 3 minutes flat. So when this kind of stuff happens, Neil can't let that go. You go into the town, the movie The Town. You look at, obviously, you know, like I said, for those of you, I'm talking about older movies, so I hope I'm not spoiling something for those of you who didn't see it. But Claire was a real one, right? She didn't turn in Doug, Ben Affleck's character. These things do matter. These things.
I was actually, funny you mentioned this. I was talking to a retired officer here in the city. Mm-hmm. And the relationship between cops and bikers in the 80s and 90s was like that. Early 90s. It started falling apart in the late 90s. But definitely 70s and 80s. That was the deal. If there was a biker who messed with a cop,
yep,
the rest of the bikers would haul his ass to the police station and leave him there.
Yep.
Usually dead, but maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But, right? Because you knew, once you kill a cop, all right, party's over, boys.
Yeah, yeah. The heat's on everybody.
And I have more of them than you have bikers.
Absolutely. And they have the federal government that's backing them, right? And, well, you know, in the movie The Godfather, they talk about this, right? When they're talking to Don Vito Corleone. And one of the best examples, I think, that we have of a preservation of values and virtues that has been lost, if you guys want to see a movie where you can really see the difference, right, is watch the movie Public Enemies, right, which details Johnny Depp and, of course, the G-man assigned to hunt him, which is Melvin Purvis, Special Agent Melvin Purvis. There are a few things in there, Tim, but the very first bank robbery of the movie, right, Dillinger breaks out of jail, breaks his friend Walter out of jail, and it's the very first bank robbery that you really get a lot of insight into. And this is why this is so important about values and virtues, like you just said about in the old days, right, back in the 80s and stuff, 70s and 80s. This is why this is so important. In the first bank robbery in Public Enemies, John Dillinger sees an old man, right? And he has his money. He goes, relax, pops. There is a guy who has, he looks like he's not quite middle-aged, right? But this movie takes place during the Great Depression where people didn't have a lot of money, right? The guy has his money on the counter. And do you know what Dillinger says to the guy? You can put it away. I'm not here for your money. I'm here for the bank's money, right?
Yeah.
So on the surface, people go, well, but John Dillinger is public enemy number one, Drex. He's a bad guy. Okay, depending on how you view Johnny Depp, because remember, a lot of people during this era were angry at banks, right? This is the Great Depression. People lost everything, right? So they Dillinger was kind of a folk hero, right? You know, Robin Hood-ish kind of character, right? When he robs this bank, there's something that ends up happening. They take hostages, right? They take the boss and they take the girl. And they bring, And here's the thing, though, Tim. They wrap a rope around there. They wrap a blindfold around them, right? So they don't see where they're going. And when they let them out, he goes, put your hands together. And they rope their hands together, right? And the guy said, the bank teller guy or the bank boss guy goes, hey, we'll freeze out here. He goes, no, you'll wheel your way out of that in about 10 minutes. Tim, you're not killing hostages, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like these mad dog killers that you hear now in Minneapolis, all these George Floyd criminals, right? They're just shooting up anybody, right? Oh, yeah. Tim, Chicago crime. Wait a minute, bro. Why are you killing hostages? Why are you shooting? Like, hold on. If you rob someone, you don't shoot the person you rob, bro. Like, you got the money. Just leave. Oh, no, I had to shoot him. What? Like, so you're starting to see, Tim, let that sink in for a second. There is a degradation of values and virtues, even in criminals, right?
Yep.
Criminals were not shooting. Stray bullets weren't hitting kids back in the day, I promise you. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Wartime. A lot of people don't know this. For those of you who are war historians, did you know that during war, there were women who used to put out chairs instead of picnics, right, to watch battles unfold? Did you know that? Because civilians were considered, that was off limits, right? You don't kill civilians, right? Clearly, that changed, right? When people started getting into chemical warfare, bombs, and all this stuff.
Suicide bombings, yeah.
Suicide, but yeah, everything changed. If you don't see why this is an issue, that's why I always go back to that thing that Dr. Jordan Peterson talked about, the necessity of virtue. even when you do bad, you can still say, hey, there's a limit, right? Like, yes, I'm a bad guy, but I'm not evil. And I always remember that line in, and I've used it before, in Die Hard with a Vengeance, when, you know, you have a bomber, right? Jeremy Irons' character, Simon. And he says, I'm not a monster, although I sometimes work for monsters. Once Bruce Willis realizes John McClane says, there was never a bomb in the school. You can be bad and not evil because you have values and you have a certain virtue about you. Like, yes, punctuality, all these things, being meticulous, that's one thing. But when someone says, even in Scarface, ultimately what seals Tony's fate is the fact that he's unwilling to murk a mother and her young children, right? And then he ends up shooting the bomber. These things all matter because I want you guys to think about something, man. When we look at why this is, even in these times of bygone era, even in fiction, nonfiction, there was an importance of love, right? Love was important, and also encouragement with kids, right? And when you lack these things, it leads to weak-minded people, right? Fools. And these fools are the kind of people that fall victim to indoctrination and conditioning, right? And it goes against their own best interests, right? Especially long-term interests. So when you think about how mindless these people are, right? The man, right? Let's look at it from the male perspective. We create simps. Mass produce them, right? Mass produce simps because they've been indoctrinated. The women, on the other hand, the other side of feminism, right? They are going to be mass produced as those feminists. Like, they aren't born that way. They're conditioned that way. And guess what, Tim? Like you just said, it's a lot easier to let all this stuff invade. Like, we talk about woke culture and stuff. Hey, Tim, how easy do you think it would be to get these drag queen genitalia showing weirdos if every single home had a father in it? Because it would have never gotten that far, right?
No.
I mean, try. Oh, you guys don't believe me? Go back to the 19. Okay, start before 102 years ago when women had voting rights, the 19th Amendment. Just go show me articles that says there were drag queens in schools who were flashing their genitals to kids and having. Shout out to our man Apex in Australia. I know we got a couple other Aussies and New Zealanders out there, a few Kiwis, where the boys have to stand up, Tim, and apologize for being born with a penis, right?
Yep. I'd do that.
What happened?
I'd play that game. Yeah. I apologize for being born with a penis.
Yeah. I apologize for being a man, being born a boy.
Like, of all my crimes? Oh, perfect. All right. Into the girl's bathroom I go.
Right? It's crazy. But like this craziness doesn't have a limit, right? There is no limit because there has been no preservation of values, right? Now, we all know who helped eradicate this and erode it, right? Which is why this is the follow-up episode to the deep state, right? Just how deep things have gone and how far they've collapsed. And also, like I said, I'm going to make sure I offer those solutions. And there's a reason why both sides, men and women, need both masculine and feminine reinforcement because you need balance. If you think a kid is going to be well-adjusted if they just have nothing but masculinity all around them, you can think again. They're not going to be well-balanced. You need femininity around masculine to keep you balanced, right? Mm-hmm. You need dad to bust that ass when the boy gets out of line, and then you need mom to comfort and soothe him. Likewise, Tim, go ask any man how they feel about like truly disciplining their daughters, right? I can guarantee you they're going to be much softer. You can ask any guy who has brothers and sisters. They're like, yeah, my dad was softer on the girls and harder on the boys. And you go, what about mom? Oh, mom was easier on the boys and harder on the girls. Oh, are you saying that this is supposed to be in a nuclear family? There's balance? Of course there's freaking balance.
I have actually called my stepdad. When I was growing up, I called my stepdad out on that stuff.
Oh, really?
Because I straight up, now remember, I wasn't beat as a kid. So I started talking back, right?
Uh-oh.
It's like Homer says, right? The sooner kids talk, the sooner they talk back.
Yep.
So I called my stepdad out because, my younger sister was one of those whiny younger sisters. And so I always would say, so-and-so cries and you run. Is that how it is? Oh man, that was a mistake.
Well, sisters were so were something else. I mean, like I said, I grew up around brothers, and yeah, I mean, my mom was quick to say, yeah, Dad. Like I said, he was the ultimate disciplinarian because he enjoyed it. You could see it in his eyes, man. He enjoyed beating asses. He loved you. Yeah. You know, some you know how you always have that look, especially with men with daughters. They don't want to do it, right? They're frustrated. They're like, ah, you just won't. And it's going to be very half-hearted when they, you know, it'll be like a spanking. I had the dad who you could see he enjoyed it. Like, he just took, you know, divine pleasure in whooping asses and grabbing the switch. So when it comes to solutions to all this, right, and in order to preserve these values, right, I think everyone has options, you know. As you know, there's options. Do you want to go your own way? Do you want to be, you know, a traditional person, right? You want to go trad? And both of them, right, need to do one thing. And this is the most important thing when it comes to solution. And we've talked about this, Tim. Inspiring others, right? Yeah. Because, so watch this. Hey, Tim, what if you learn how to make it out of the hood, right? So you learn how to make it out of the hood. Would you say that you have an obligation to teach everyone that you know how to get out of the hood?
Only once.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But yeah, you have to give them, like, you have to give everyone that one time, right? Like, you made it out. You're like, oh my God. You look back like, damn, that shit was, Tim, that was messed up. I see how bad it is. This is how I got out. These are the steps I took, right? These are the things I value. I valued hard work. I valued perseverance. I valued a hunger for knowledge, right?
I did 12-hour shifts at the Empire Theater to save up so that I could you know, get a bus out of town. I spent the summer with my aunt, got a job working maybe forestry, forest fires, whatever, you know, paid room and board at my aunt's house. And it just goes from there.
It just goes from there, right?
Yeah.
But what happens to that guy who looks at you, Tim, and goes, I can never get out of here, man. This just is what it is. What are you going to tell him? He's depressed. He's nihilistic. What do you tell him?
Why the hell are you still spending money on this, first of all, cheap liquor?
Mm-hmm.
Or why'd you pour $4,000 into a $2,000 car?
Yep.
For, low rider and sound system.
Yep. You wanted hydros on it, right? You wanted 10s and 12s in the back. You want to, it's like, dude, this isn't how you get out, man. Like, this is a bad investment.
This is how you stay in.
This is how you stay in,
I'm only
going
to tell you once. I'll tell you
one time.
You fuck it up. All right. Yep. Well,
yeah, it's truly on them. And like, we've gotten away from that. There was a time, man, when this really did mean something, right? You bump into somebody like, yo, man, I got to help this person get out. I want to help them. It wasn't, you want to inspire them. You know, like, it's like when we talked about the health episode, you should shame your buddy for being fat. You should shame your sister for being fat, or your girlfriend, or and vice versa. You,
oh, wait, woman, were you like, listening to them all in the live chat when I jumped in?
It's one of those things, because if you don't, then in a sense, you don't value their health. You don't value their friendship. You don't value their long-term well-being. Because the reason why we get into this mess is because people have been lied to, right? Left and right. They've just been lied to. So this is where we're at. And I look at this, right? The feminist programming, right? Gynocentrism. Okay, well, Drex, what do we do for solution? The first solution that we talk about, Tim, on here, and it kind of trickles down to every other choice that you make, is for men, two things: economic conservatism and foresight. Okay? So from the male perspective, you want independence from the system, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to invest in your health, right? We've talked about that. Because you can have all the money in the world. If your health is shit, you're dead, right? Read Steve Jobs, right? Steve Jobs was not that old, Tim. He wasn't that old. Oh, your health is bad. Huh?
He sure looked old.
Yeah. Well, the way he was living, he's very frail. He was not taking care of himself. Like, dude, this stuff matters. Like, you have to invest in yourself long term, not just, well, I mean, I want the new PS5. I want the new this. I want the new that. I want the sounds. Before you know, you're like, man, I'm broke. I have no money in savings. I have no nothing. We don't want to see that, right? And so when you invest in your health, right? You also have to, there's something that doesn't get talked about enough. Invest in your brothers, but not just anybody. You have to be much more discriminatory and selective. You invest in your brothers of value. You see what I'm saying? You don't just walk around like this. Hey, Tim, I know that guy, man. He's a good guy. I should just, you know, make sure that, you know, we're always cool. No. You invest in people of value that you see on the right path.
Yeah, they have a saying in politics, if you want to know who your true friends are, run for office.
Yep. Oh, right. I can't vote for you because of reasons. I can't do this for you. I can't do that. No, I can't put a sign out for you.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Same thing. Invest in your true friends.
Yep.
Not the ones who were there when times are good.
Oh, yeah, no. When you were flat broke, when you had nothing, right? Where were they at? Oh, man, damn, this guy lent me something. He knew, he saw how hard I was working, and I was in a rough spot. Yeah, that's a true friend. And you have to invest in that because that's one of the biggest solutions because you're going to need to build a team. You're going to need to build a network because one of the things that I started thinking about with all this, right, when I talk about brothers of value is that one of the biggest solutions to solving this issue of unmitigated gynocentrism is an underground economy, right? It is extremely necessary to have an underground economy. And, you know, there's also got to be a barter system. And the biggest thing for men to understand that I want them to truly embrace when I talk about these solutions is the avoidance of financial and emotional drains. Because, Tim, most of the guys that came to the red pill, the manosphere, whatever people want to call it, you know, everyone has their own terms. One of the main reasons is because, like, they were drained somehow, right? They were broken somehow. Not all the time, but a lot of times, right? Or they know someone who was, and they wanted some understanding about, hey, man, I've been going this route that I was told by society, and something's not right. I need some help. And these are usually the financial and emotional drains, whether it be the women, whether it be your family members who are deadbeats, always dragging you down. You always got something in your life that feels like it's draining you, right? And the solution to that problem is to basically do what? You isolate yourself from whatever's draining. You divorce from it, right? And then for the females out there who can really gain a lot of insight that can help them live a better life through the manosphere, because women aren't going to tell women the truth, so only men are going to tell them the truth. And for the women, there are two things. You know, obviously for the men, it was economic conservatism and foresight. So what about women? It is sexual conservatism and foresight for women. You see what I'm saying? What you desire is flipped. What you need to do for your solution to these problems is flipped. And, you know, you have to be the woman a high-value man desires, right? You have to embody that. You can't just walk around saying, I mean, yeah, I should be married, Tim, because of reasons. No. You have to own it. Be that woman that he desires. And how do you do that? Guess what, Tim? Just like with a guy, he acquires skills and work ethics and values and virtues to ascend to that level to get what he wants out of life, whether he wants, like I said, whether he wants to go his own way or he wants to go traditional, conservative route or something, right? Yeah. Lives out in the country with his kids, his family. Cool. But for the ladies, you need to get the skills. A lot of you ladies say that, oh, I want X, Y, and Z, Drex. Well, are you doing anything to get it? Tim, imagine if we talk to somebody who calls in and he says, yo, man, I want to be rich. And we go, okay, cool. I mean, you know, most people want to be rich, right? Most guys want to be rich, just like most women, virtually all women want to be married, right? I want to be married. And you go, okay, so what are you doing about it? Oh, nothing. I'm just chilling. It's like, you don't work? No, I choose not to work.
What do you think women want more, marriage or to get smashed by a black guy?
Marriage, because women everywhere want marriage. Now, understand this, though. When it comes to what they say and do, they don't want to stay married. I think this is where people get confused. Modern women don't want to stay married. They want to be brides, right? Not wives. Yeah. Because there's accountability in being a wife, right? Staying married is a... Listen, ask most women. Tim, do you know that most women have actually been proposed to? Did you know that? Most women have turned down a proposal in their life. Like, a guy asked them, like, or at least insinuated at the minimum, right? And they're like, nah, I can do better, right? And then they end up being 40.
I'm guessing every failed relationship is a failed potential marriage.
Agreed. Yeah, almost all of them, right? Because think about it. Most people, if you were to get with somebody, right? And I've seen this happen. You're a couple for like 7 years. And it's like, damn, these people have been, you know, together this long. And sometimes, you know, the guy wants to get married. Sometimes he doesn't. But it's like, at the end of the day, here we are at this point where when it comes to the ladies, you have to embody, right? Value being a high value woman, right? Don't just say it. Don't just say, I deserve this. No. Value it. And how do you value it? Hey, do you know how to cook? Right? All right, modesty. What skills do you need as a woman? You need modesty. You need humility. You need to be feminine. You need to cook. You need to clean. You know, don't nag. You know, great skills with kids, right? These are things that you need. Avoid feminist programming, right? And also, Tim, not just avoid the programming, avoid feminists, right? For women, because how many times have we whether it be emails, whether it be things that people have said, Tim, some of our female guests, it was other women trying to lead them down the wrong path, right?
Yep. Go listen to the episode we have with Mr. and Miss Leximus.
Oh, yeah, yeah, excellent. Yeah, yeah, excellent episode where, yeah, here they are. Girls are telling her, no, Miss Lex, be a thot. Yeah, come get ran through. See, they don't want you to see. It's crabs in a bucket, right? That's all it is. And one of the things that doesn't get talked about enough when it comes to these values is that the consequences of ignoring these solutions. We give you the solution. Oh, you're a guy? I made it simple as that, right? There it is. I got it written down. Economic conservatism and foresight for girls. Sexual conservatism and foresight. Oh, so Tim, what happens if someone goes, what if a dude walks up to you and goes like this? You know what, Tim? I'm not going to do that. I'll tell you what's holding males back, most dudes. Three things. Simping, denial, hollow achievements. Those are the three things holding most men back.
It sounds like simping is a symptom of the other two. The hollow achievement really is giving money to to Amaranth and thinking that you're in a relationship with her.
Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah. Dude, I'm perfectly fine, man. I'm doing great. Well, and here's the thing.
And the denial is that you are a simp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm an alpha, bro. I'm an alpha.
Drex, how many simps think they're simps?
None. Zero.
Yep.
They're in denial. Look, when TFM had that video that said cuck in denial, it was one of his best videos. I so missed TFM when he was on YouTube, and he just would cover some of these articles. And you look at it like, so for a guy, right, I talked about, you know, the economic conservatism. Well, guess what? Most guys that ignore this, the consequences is that they are in a constant loop, an endless loop of what, Tim? Bad investments. Oh, Tim, can you name a bad investment? Romantic relationships, bad investment. Career decisions, bad investments. Deadbeat friends, right? They just sit around smoking dope all day. Bad investments. And another thing, this is something that doesn't get talked about.
That aren't yours.
Right? Here's something that gets lost. Is that this is one of the most disturbing things to me. Allowing negativity, right, to invade your present to destroy your future. How many times have we seen this, Tim? People get into that nihilistic viewpoint, right? I'm so mad. I'm so lonely. I'm so this and that. This is what we talk about with the Elliot Rodgers of the world, right?
Yeah, that's the incel mindset.
It's the incel mindset. Like you go full on like black pill, and you're just like, I'm so miserable. The world sucks, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, bro, you are in control of your own destiny. But guess what, Tim? This is the guy that was simping. This is the guy that was in denial. And this is the guy that the hollow achievements that he had was, like you said, a Twitch thought was an achievement to him, right? Getting validation from certain people, that was an achievement to him, right? None of these are cheap. Listen, no one, and shout out to Coach Gray Adams for saying this, no one gets any like real credit when at the end of your life you say, I smashed 500 thoughts. Dude, no one cares. That's not an achievement. That's not an achievement. PUA is not something you should ever aspire to be. That's not a fucking achievement, bro. How many chicks you ran through? That's not an achievement. It's lame, right? What did you do while you were here? What did you, what were the virtues? What did you pass on? And this goes back to Metal Gear Solid 2, right, Tim?
Yeah.
Snake passes on a lot to Raiden, right? Because yeah. Raiden was like a lost soul, right? He's an orphan. He's a lost soul. So you start to see this. And you know what? You think about, you know, whether it be, you know, your family, social media, all these things that kind of shift people's view of reality. Well, guess what? Your mental health is going to suffer as a guy when you do this, right? And, you know, Morpheus said this in the movie, right? When he says, the body can't live without the mind, right? You think about how many people, Tim, guys who yeet themselves, right? High suicide rate for men, right? Because, of course, men actually succeed in suicide, right? Women just, you know, do things for attention so that they don't succeed.
So when Lizzo finally has a heart attack, is that considered a suicide?
That's called death by natural causes. Eating herself to death, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is one of the things, though. You think about, you know, there's lots of unmotivated guys out there, right? And they have dead eyes. I've noticed this. I know some of you guys out there have noticed this also, right? Because look at what they value, right? They value their next relationship, right? They value their last relationship. They value going to a dead-end job every day that gives them nothing, and yet they complain. So they value complaining, right? I'm just going to complain all day. I'm not the master of my fate. Yes, you are. If you believe you are, then damn it, you are the master of your own fate. And not only is this high suicide rate disturbing, but like, there's no vetting. Tim, one of the biggest consequences of ignoring the solutions is that you're not vetting what you invest in. You're not vetting your financial investments. Oh, you're not vetting. You're not going to vet your romantic relationships. Oh yeah, I want to be with this girl, bro. She has 53 tattoos and she was at a feminist rally. Nah, bro, yeah, she's a good
denial,
woman,
bro.
You're in denial. So
you are standing in a river in Egypt.
Yeah,
Apex actually has a good Matrix switch quote.
Oh, what's that?
You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. You remember that line?
Yep.
Right.
And when the girl in the red dress,
helplessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it.
Oh, damn right they will.
Classic.
And that's the blue pill simp. The blue pill simp will fight to preserve the Matrix, right? And I look at females because I always want to make sure I let females know that, like, you know, they have a solution, right? And when they don't, that they're going to be doomed. And the consequences for women, there are three things that are the ultimate consequences of women, because they fall into this: vanity, mammon. The Bible talks about mammon, those material goods, right? And rebellion, right? Rebelling against their own nature, rebelling against what is good. And someone says, "Okay, well, Drex, what becomes of these girls?" Remember what I said though, Tim, when it came to solution. If sexual conservatism is the solution, right? Do you notice that most women's problems, Tim, where do they stem from? It's being sexually irresponsible, right?
Yep.
Getting ran through has consequences. Having babies out of wedlock with random dudes, right? That because he was tall or looked handsome or something, has consequences. Most of women's problems come from their social network and or misuse of their body, their sexuality.
Yeah, I was gonna say half of their problems are sexual, the other half are listening to other women.
Yep. Tim, you didn't even see the notes that I wrote, but you already know that, right? This should be common knowledge, right? Like, you'd be amazed how many women, like, oh, they go, "Tim, I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do?" I'm like, "You don't know this? Like, you didn't analyze, like, you didn't look around you and say," and then you realize, "Oh my God, Tim, they are victims just as much as these young men who are lost," right? The same lost soul men, we have lost soul women. And you know, you look at these bad results that women get, right? Because you know what they were investing in, Tim? Mammon. So vain objects with fleeting value, right? That's what they're investing in. And hey, Tim, let's do a count. Let's ask all the ladies out there. Hey, ladies, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to listen to this, especially single ones, especially the single ladies, right?
Yeah.
And guys, you can ask your single female friends.
Less than 1% of our audience.
Yeah, right? well, the men can ask the women to do this, right? Size the women up in your life, right?
Oh, yeah. Hey, play this game. Ask your mom, wife, or girlfriend the following 5 questions.
Yep. And you ask them, go like this. Walk up to them and have them count. Count this out. Pull out all your shoes. She pulls them out. Pull out all your lingerie. She pulls it out. All your makeup kits, right? And we know how much makeup these chicks invest in, right, Tim? They invest in quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
Pull out your degree. Okay, Drex, I did all that. What was the point of this? Now, I want you to contrast that with how many real friends you have, how many strong family ties you have, right? How many the things that fulfill a woman in life, right? Jordan Peterson talks about this. Most women are fulfilled by family, right? A family unit. And yet you look at the things they invest in, Tim. Oh, you invested in spring break. You invested in a Brazilian butt lift. You invested in fake boobs. You invested in all this makeup, foundation, mascara, fake eyelashes, toes all did, nails all did, all this stuff that doesn't mean nothing, right? And then when you go like this, hey, Tim, we hear about it all the time, right? All these single ladies, miserable, right? Taking all these antidepressants, right? And guess what? This is all a consequence, right? This is a consequence of not valuing the things that really matter, right? And, the question is this. Is your life full of things? What is it full of? Is your life full of hookups? Yep. Is your life full of ladies' nights out, bitching, right? That rebellious spirit? Yep. Men ain't shit, Tim. Is that making your life better? Screaming about how bad men are? No. Hey, red pill rage guy. Is screaming about how horrible women are all day, all night on internet forums? Is that making your life better? Nope. Hey, ladies, how about those pills? How about that therapy? Hey, Tim, you know how many chicks are in therapy right now and popping pills to keep themselves from slitting their wrists?
Not enough, apparently.
Not enough, but too damn many. Too damn many. Because, Tim, if these guys don't vet these women, right? If they don't value vetting, they don't know. Oh, yeah, Tim, she seems like a nice girl. Next thing you know, HMT, right? You wind up in an HMT video. You know what I'm saying?
And shout out to RPM.
Yeah, right? Shout out to RPM. Well, and let's face it. When they don't listen, right, that one of their consequences is the coping mechanisms. It's the boxed wine. It's the son husband, Tim. We've talked about those son husband, right? We've talked about the pet boyfriends, right? When these women have pets that they try to like model as like the pet husband. It's like, so you're dressing up your animal like a man and sitting. I've seen the videos, man, of lonely women, Tim, sitting at dinner tables, feeding their dog, talking to their dog like it's an actual person, right?
Yep.
I want to ask you something, Tim. If you walked in on that, right? Let's just say for whatever reason the back door was unlocked and you just walked in, or maybe you had a secret camera in the house and you saw that. What would you say about that? Some woman you know is sitting there with an animal, sitting there going, "Oh, baby," and like trying to give the animal food at a dinner table, dressed up with a top hat.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a phone call to a doctor.
It's unhealthy, right? And here's the thing, though, Tim.
Well, the same
denial. It's just crazy, right? The same denial that guys have, like, "Oh, I'm not a simp," is the same denial that women have. Like, you know, the "I don't need no man" rhetoric, right?
The denial that women have that the wall won't come
for me. I didn't hit the wall. Tim, my degree, so I can focus on my career. When you look at these chicks, Tim.
How many of them outrun the wall?
Zero.
Zero.
And Tim.
Undefeated.
It's undefeated. We talk about it. It's like Floyd Mayweather.
72 yeah. Dolphins.
Yeah, 72.
What year Dolphins? 72.
72
yeah.
Dolphins.
God damn it. I can't believe I fucked that up. Yes. The wall is the 72 Dolphins.
Yep. Undefeated. Never lost a game. Undefeated. And the reason why I bring all this up, right, is that, you know, these women buy into feminism and they're losing. And I bring this up for a reason, right? And their mental health suffers, obviously, right? And yet, this was talked about earlier where someone said, when women are approached with the truth, Tim, they double down, right? They like double down on their feminism.
Men
like,
do too.
No. Simps do too, right? The simp, Tim, when confronted with the truth, will double down on his blue pill delusion, right? Like, "You guys are stupid. No, my queen is out there and you guys are just bitter." And it's like, bro, the laws are like this. "No, they're not. No, the laws are not that bad." Like, you can like literally show them the law and "You guys are just hurt." It's like, you know what, dude? Okay, do you. Don't listen to us, right? Don't listen to our solutions on that economic conservatism, right? And then when they come back ruined, Tim, what do they say?
It's like ruined. I said last week, right?
Yep.
When you come back broken and beaten up, the MGTOWN podcast will be here to pick up the pieces. Because remember...
What did I do wrong?
I said this last week. This show is not for someone who's in a happy, fulfilling relationship.
Absolutely not. I mean, you can still learn certain things from it. Yeah, I mean,
Until she cheats on you.
Cheats on you or steals your money or takes your kid away or whatever. Yeah. Something happens.
You know,
and then you come back.
Tries to make you pay for the gender transition.
Oh, that poor guy.
Right.
Texas,
and then
you come
to us and we'll pick up the pieces.
Absolutely. Well, here's the thing. I want you guys to understand this, man. When I talk about this, the reason why these values are so important. Everything I just talked about, these were values on an individual level, right? In all individual, right? Men this, women that. Women this, men that. Why is that important? Let's look at it on a grander scale, right? We have micro and macro. On a societal level, Tim, what are the consequences of not preserving these values, not preserving these virtues of, you know, testicular fortitude, right? You guys got to have some balls out there, right? Hell, spinal fortitude. Fuckers have no backbone. And when you look at all these things, the discipline, work ethic, being on time, the golden rule, do unto others as you would like done unto you. Hey, so Drex, what happens when we don't practice economic conservatism, sexual conservatism, foresight, you know, planning? What happens when we just ignore all this and just do whatever the hell we want? Well, let's take a look at what I got written down here. I'm going to give a quick shout out to Aaron Clary and Better Bachelor, Joker Better Bachelor, because he did a video. They both did a video in regards to this article. It was from an economist dude, right? This economist talked about, the video was titled, you know, do women even like men or love men, right? And he talked about, you know, from a societal standpoint, that a lot of, you know, throughout history, if you really look at it, it was based solely on necessity. Once women were given the choice, an ideal man for most women, if they can't get literally the top 1%, their ideal man, Tim, is the dutiful husband that they can divorce grape, and then he provides the children, he provides the money for her lifestyle, while she goes and does what she wants. That is the ideal scenario. So she took from him what he provides, but she doesn't take him, the person, right? Because she doesn't love him. She just cares about what she provides, right? What he provides. And you look at this on a societal level, right? We farmed out the labor. Uh-oh. What happens when you farm out labor? Oh, shit. Damn, jobs are drying up, and we don't have more debt. We got to add debt. Okay. Destruction of the nuclear family, which we've talked about ad nauseum, right? Oh, damn. What did we invest in? See, these corporations, the government, these agencies, these agents, what they invested in and the deep state invested in was destruction, chaos, perversion, subversion, right? That's what they invested in. And they won, right? Because that's what they want to preserve. They want to preserve. That's why, Tim, every time that you notice, what is cancel culture? Cancel culture is when one side tries to right the ship, right? And they say, slap the hand, right? We're not going to allow you to try to right the ship, because what they preserve, what they want to preserve, is this perversion. They want more Billy Porter, right? They want more Ezra Miller. They want more blue-haired feminist chicks out here doing pussy hat marches and period blood art and all that. See, they want people to be crazy and in debt, right? Absolutely. With useless degrees, right? They want more useful idiots, right? So that's what they invest in, and they're getting more of it because they're investing so heavily in it, right? With the indoctrination in the schools. All right. Speaking of schools, the education system, useless, right? You go to the public school, you're like, dude, did I learn anything? No, of course you didn't. And Tim, do you know what the current U.S. national debt is? You have any idea?
No.
Remember I said economic conservatism for the individual man? Why that's important? To invest in yourself and make sure you stay out of the red, right?
Because the government ain't going to do it for you.
They ain't going to do it for you. Well, let me tell you what the U.S. national debt is, right? $28 trillion is the national debt for the United States, right? 328 million people in the country. Do the math, right? So Tim, from that perspective, if we were to just look at every individual person, right? You know, if you look at all things being equal, that means everyone is negative, right? Because how else would you be in debt, right? So here we are, a country in debt. I told you guys, solution, economic conservatism, economic responsibility. Well, guess what, Tim? If everyone were economically responsible, we wouldn't have so many damn losers out here, would we? And when you have losers, what do they push for? Bigger government and more socialism, right? Because they're losing. So, see, you guys see how on a simple level, the individual ties in directly to the community, to the whole. You see what I'm saying? And we look at, you know, say we got debt, and we have, you know, and Aaron Clary is very, he talks about this in the video. He says, you have debt without workers, right, who can produce shit, right, and provide for families. Hey, Tim, how many people have liberal arts degrees running around out there, right? They're 150 grand in debt, and they're like, oh, I majored in gender studies. Is that a useful skill anywhere on earth?
There's a graduate class of like 20 of those every year.
Yep.
Of every school.
Every school. Now, Tim, hey, guess what you can't find right now? Harder to find welders. Harder to find people to build a house. Oh, you want to get something fixed on your car? Man, you got to wait 3 weeks. Wait, why 3 weeks? We're backlogged that way. See, hard to find mechanics, skills that actually matter, right? But hey, Tim, you can find a whole lot of people that are going to scream about diversity, right?
Yep. The diversity inclusion coordinator.
Inclusion. My inclusion. My diversity. See, all these useless things that don't matter. Man, damn, Tim, we got those in abundance. See, because that's what we put value in, or the deep state put value in, right? And they got more of it. And here we are looking at gynocentrism. And we are on a societal level, because of the destruction of the nuclear family, because of economic irresponsibility. What do we end up with, Tim? You guessed it, soy boys that women don't want and men can't stand, right? And these are the women that created them, and now they're mad. Oh, what's that, Tim? Do we got a bunch of double standard feminist laws out there, right? When a female teacher does something? What's that?
Because women love the soy boys. They don't want to date them. They don't want to marry them. But they love having them.
They serve a purpose, right? Yes. They serve just as much of a purpose as a turbo thought serves for a man. Like, oh yeah, I just use them for sexual gratification, right?
Yep.
Bust a nut and leave.
Yep.
Yeah. And what does a soy boy do? What do we know? Gives them attention and leaves, or pays for their stuff and leaves. It's the same damn thing.
Free resources, right? Paying for dinners.
Yep.
Helping raise, babysitting their kids.
Mm-hmm.
That they had with
the
like,
stepdad who stepped up, right?
Three different fathers.
Yep, for each kid, right? Well, think about
answering
this.
Answering her texts at 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Picking her up from the club.
Free validation.
She was thoughting it up.
Oh, my God. Tim, you always listen. You always listen to me when I'm down. These men treat me so bad, but not you.
I can always count on you.
I can always count on you.
And there's a lot of people who are scratching their heads right now, looking at their phone, being like,
"Yeah, wait, was that me?" And Tim, it's real.
We got to do a show someday on the red flag phrases, right?
Oh,
if a woman on your phone has ever sent any of these lines to you,
you're like a brother to me. You're like a brother to me. The only time you're like a brother to me is okay, is if you guys are okay. Both of you have options. But you guys are legitimate friends. Like, if you're a legitimate friend, I can't knock that. But, like, if you want to smash, and the most you've ever gotten is you're like a brother to me, that means you're a simp.
Yeah.
You're a simp. Okay? And
you're always so help. You're always there when I need you. This is another one. If you have these messages on your phone, you might be a we could start a new Jeff Foxworthy thing, right?
Yeah. No, you know you're a simp, like, Wynn.
You might be a redneck.
you
might be a simp.
You might be a simp. And Tim, here's the thing, though. This is why this is so damn important. When you deal with all these double standards and soy boys and all this stuff, is that on a societal level, right? We talk about a response to this on a individual level. On a societal level, men going their own way is a response. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it free agent lifestyle, men going their own way, or GALT, as it was said in that article, where guys just bounce. Like, yeah, I'm just going to check out. And now society's going, uh-oh, Tim. You're seeing literally governments around the world, right? Western world, in Asia.
State-mandated
panicking.
Yes, state-mandated boyfriends.
Boyfriends, right? Because they know, they're like, uh-oh, if the guys check out, they're the only ones that produce anything, so we're done. They're the only ones that are going to defend the country. The only ones that are going to take all the hard jobs that you need. Oh, you think garbage men are useless? Hey, Tim, let's take garbage men off the earth for 1 month. See what happens, right?
Oh, no, we've done this. Hey, this was before Rob Ford became mayor. Toronto's garbage collectors went on strike for 2 weeks.
Ooh, how was that?
So the city of Toronto is a big city. Even by American standards, it's still a big city. It's 4.5 million people. All right. They opened up the parking lot in city parks and told people just to throw garbage there. They fenced off, right? They put a couple fences up and they said, all right, make a pile here.
Yep.
And then when the strike's over, we'll come pick it up. Okay. Well, 1 week goes by and we've got pictures, right? These trash heaps are taller than the trees.
Oh, wow.
Right? And, pigeons and magpies and flies
are ripping
it off. And it smells. The wind goes through.
Yep.
It's rained on. Drex, is there anything that smells worse than wet garbage?
Yeah, dude, nasty. Only thing worse than that is wet garbage, and then you have a hot day right after that, right? Like,
Well, and Toronto gets very hot and humid. Because of the Great Lakes.
Oh, nasty.
And this was in the summer, right? This middle summer. It was winter where it all freezes. So that strike lasted 2 weeks. And then they got back to the... They got back to
the knee.
Because
Tim, the people are valuable. See, the people that keep society up, pipe fitters, all these people that you guys said were undesirable, right? You ladies out there think that these guys are nobody. They're beneath you. Do you know why? Because you have a degree. Yeah, your degree is useless because you're useless, right? If garbage men stop doing what they do, if landscapers and stuff stop doing what they do, if car mechanics stop doing what they do, hey, Tim, how long would you think society would collapse if you literally took away the people who do something, right? Really do something.
Yeah.
With their hands. Like, they physically do something.
We learned because of the pandemic that fully half of the people who work in an office, your typical downtown office, are useless.
Completely useless. Literally useless. They can literally automate you out of existence.
I got to be fair. It's not all women.
It's not.
There are plenty of men who are useless.
Yep. Absolutely. Right. Well, here's the thing. The pandemic showed that. And I look at these things that have started to happen, man. And as things get worse and worse and worse, and, you know, we talk about these governments panicking and trying to adapt. And I look at some of the things that have really stood out, right? Like the fact that on a societal level, we talk about this, Tim, a split, right? You've been talking about that in Canada. That you can see it happening, right? An actual split in Canada. Because of the socio-political climate, right? A split.
Yeah.
The East is one. You know, they say, "Hey, man, we're going to split off from the rest of these."
Well, that's
people.
More regionalism, though. Like,
regionalism
isn't quite the same as, say, a hard political split or a. It's more of a cultural split, but even then, it's not like what is Canada's culture? We're not the U.S.
Yep.
Right. So that one's a tough one. The split. The urban-rural divide in the U.S.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. Here's the thing. There's going to get to a point where they're gonna basically like force the split, because if you have these major metropolitan cities that are basically just all – they're all socialists, right? All full of single moms, all a bunch of career women who are all single and their eggs are dying by the day and their body count's going up by the dozens by the day. And you wind up in a scenario where it's just a cesspool, right? Crime. Degeneracy, all that stuff. And then you have people who say, look, man, I want no part of this. I'm not even there to partake, right? So I just want to be left alone. I don't want my taxes going skyrocketing, right? Yeah. Well, guess what? All of this is feminist ideology, and it's coming to, you know, it's kind of, you know, they always say that the chickens are coming home to roost, right? You know, all these women who said work, right? Tim, I just want to focus on my career and no marriage and the patriarchy, right? Every Karen who said all that, they're looking around now like, uh-oh. As TFM used to always say, he used to say, feminism is a self-correcting problem, right? So is communism. They're all one and the same. Feminism, socialism, communism, right? And
that's that intersectionality they keep talking about.
Intersectionality. I look back to the values that we really have in this country. And, you know, shout out to Yash for writing that, right? Where he said, take away truck drivers. Tim, how long into the pandemic do we realize how valuable truck drivers were, right? If there's no one to transport goods, you're done. Game over, like, done. Oh, are people fighting over toilet paper? Yep. Oh, are people fighting over food? Yep. I remember when Joker said that, right?
Yeah.
You know, when the chips are down, you know, these civilized people, they'll eat each other. He knows. You let people go hungry for just a little bit. Just a little bit. Let them go to the grocery store and there's nothing there for just a little bit. And they'll freak. Okay? And could it end in civil war? Maybe. I say a split before a civil war. But the lifestyle taught me these lessons about what to value, right? It said, yo, look, I remember realizing, Tim, you had to have virtues. Like I said, whether someone agrees with the things I do or not, one of the things I learned was like to always be honest, always be upfront and forthcoming. Whether someone agrees with you know, certain decisions I make or not, hey, at least I was upfront.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have this society, Tim, where everyone's sitting there saying, marriage is great, buddy. It's what you're supposed to do. You better man up. You got to be the guy who steps up to be a stepdad, Tim. Everyone's giving you a bunch of BS advice. And it's like, look, man, you should be more concerned with disingenuous people, right? Yeah. And it's because, Tim, there's no values. I mean, we used to value honesty, right? Honesty is a virtue, right? You think, you know, patience is a virtue. There were things that people were like, yo, man, I'm going to be patient. I don't seek instant gratification from TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram, I seek real things. That's why in this pandemic, you started noticing more and more people were somehow miserable they were. Oh, because you couldn't go out to the clubs and get validation. Oh, because you have no real friends. Oh, because your degree was useless and you weren't working. Of course.
You know, it's funny. This show is getting to the age where, you know, this show regrets not freezing its eggs.
Yes.
We're the show's 47 years old now.
47 years old. You're right. With the 47 episodes. Old. Well, the
we're
thing
almost
is
that like, magic number where it's too late to freeze your eggs.
Right. Well, the thing is like, you know, like I said, I want to get you guys out here with a couple of articles that I saw. I was telling Tim about this. There were some articles when I looked at some of the things that were happening out here. And for the ladies out there, right? You guys were the ones that endorsed and perpetuated woke culture so much, right? Now you got those trans women beating your asses in the ring. Now you got, did you see about the netball thing, Tim, in Australia? Did you see about that? I hope you did. So here's the story in a nutshell. All girls playing netball, right? All boys team, for inclusion's sake, challenged the girls to the state title. What do you think happened? Who do you think won?
I know they're stunning and brave. Obviously the boys.
Obviously. Tim. Total domination. Like, literally no contest, right? And now the same women who are preaching woke are mad. And there's a article here from the Daily Wire, right? October 19th.
Oh, that's
right?
Ben
today.
Shapiro's thing.
Yeah, that's Ben Shapiro, right? Well, we have that certain person in the Biden administration that literally looks like fucking George Washington or Ben Franklin. And this article says, Biden admin dubs transgender individual Rachel Levine, or Levine, first ever female four-star admiral of USPHS Commissioned Corps. It says, President Joe Biden's administration named Rachel Levine a top U.S. health official and transgender woman. Notice how they say, we need to stop saying transgender woman, Tim. Trans women are real women, okay? The first ever female four-star admiral. Notice it says, now this is because it's on the Daily Wire, it has all of that in quotations, right? And it says, Levine, 63, served as a secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Health before being nominated to the assistant secretary for health of the Department of Health and Human Services in the Biden administration. Levine, who is biologically male, is the first openly transgender official confirmed by the U.S. Senate. Now, Tim, this is the reason why this is important. This is further lending to women being replaced with their own ideology, right? Because this is what they wanted, right?
Yeah.
You reap what you sow, right?
Yep.
Well, you know, I sent an article to Mama Vic that I think perfectly illustrates this. And I want to read this article to you guys because I think it really highlights so much. And the article is, I think, Tim, you saw this article in the Discord. Lauded Spanish female crime writer revealed to be three men. Tim,
I saw the article. I didn't read it.
It's glorious. This is a glorious article because this is what happens when you value identity politics and feminism and garbage and woke over real shit, right? And you devalued your men, right? You devalue their accomplishment. You devalue them. Well, guess what? When you do all this, Tim, you wind up creating a counter, right? And the counter is simple. Hey, Tim, if we're going to just demonize all men, but then we're going to say, hey, your gender is how you identify. Guess what guys are going to start doing to beat the system? Oh, I'm a female now. I'm just going to start identifying as that to get all the credit and all the money and all the everything, right? It's pure troll job. Here's the article by Hannah Ryan of CNN. Spain's literary world has been thrown into chaos after a coveted book prize was awarded to, quote-unquote, Carmen Mola, an acclaimed female thriller writer who turned out to be the pseudonym of three men. And it goes on to say some things, and it says, you know, they came to pick up the prize money, and they revealed that the celebrated crime author did not actually exist. Once again, men are better at women than women. On the website from Mola's agent, the writer, who has been compared to Italy's esteemed novelist, Elena Ferrante, is described as a quote-unquote Madrid-born author writing under a pseudonym in a bid to remain anonymous. The description for Mola on the website also contains a series of photographs of an unknown woman looking away from the camera. That's a nice thing to do, right? In previous interviews with Spanish media, Martinez, Diaz, and Mercero, those are the guys that are the real writers, have presented Mola as a female university professor who lived in Madrid with her husband and children. Now, Tim, you and I both know about narratives, right?
Yep.
Why do you think these guys chose this? Like this narrative? Read that again. A career, that, university professor. Career woman who lives in Madrid with her husband. Yep. He's a cuck, right?
Well, it was just like those people who submitted fake articles to scientific journals to get them published, and they got them published. Like, one guy literally just copied and pasted Mein Kampf.
Yep.
And got it published in a journal of psychology or something.
Of course
he did. I don't remember the details exactly, but you remember that, right? That was a big deal when it happened.
Absolutely. It was a huge deal.
Someone called you out in a chat.
What was that?
Would you smash that Pennsylvania... The trans secretary, would you smash that to get rid of the family court? But you have to look her in the eyes the whole time.
Nope. It's a bridge too far. Can't do it. I don't know what look. That creature looks like Ben Franklin.
I wouldn't fuck that with a stolen dick.
Yeah, I couldn't smash with a stolen dick, bro. I couldn't do it. Well, here's the thing that I love about this. I read this article, and it's beautiful. It says, Mola's novels usually revolve around the character of Detective Elena Blanco, described by the publisher Penguin Random House as a quote-unquote peculiar and lonely woman and a lover of grappa, karaoke, collector's cars, and sex and SUVs. However, the book that won the Planeta Prize was not a story featuring Blanco. It is a historical thriller called The Beast, set during a cholera epidemic in 1834 and centers around a serial killer who is hunted down by a journalist, a policeman, and a young woman. The Mola novels are well known for being gory and graphic, and Spanish media was noted in the past that the contrast between Mola's supposed life as a married university professor and the violent nature of the books served as a useful marketing tool. Now, this is where this story is beautiful, is that it talks about the authors and, you know, teaching algebra classes. That's what the story, right? And, you know, it contrasts with her life. But it says, the news stunned many fellow literary figures, and not everyone is thrilled about the news. Beatrice Gimeno, who describes herself as a writer and a feminist, that's the key right there, right, Tim? And who was once the director of the Women's Institute, a key national equality body in Spain. Feminism is nothing about equality. You know, no.
Checking all the boxes.
You're right. Took to Twitter to criticize the men. In a tweet, Gimeno said, beyond using a female pseudonym, these guys have spent years doing interviews. It's not just the name. It's the fake profile they've used to take in readers and journalists. Scammers. So this person is all mad. So, you know, in 2020, a regional branch of the Women's Institute included Mola's work. Wait, check this out, Tim. Included Mola's work as part of a selection of quote-unquote feminist reading alongside Canadian poet Margaret Atwood and Spanish writer Irene Vallejo.
Oh, God.
So
Margaret Atwood is untouchable in Canada.
Untouchable, right? Untouchable.
Untouchable. Can't say a bad word about her.
Can't say one bad word, right?
And she's the Celine Dion of our literary world.
Yeah. Right? Well, here's what makes this great.
You can't say anything bad about Celine Dion. If you do, you'll have a bench warrant issued in Quebec for your arrest.
Oh, yeah. You're canceled. Well, this is the reason why this is so beautiful. So because it only mattered when feminists realized that, oh, my God, a man pretended to be a woman, and we gave all this praise. So what that's really saying, Tim, is that, once again, right, you force the issue, right, the state themselves, they force the issue because guess what? By only recognizing female literary works, you basically force guys to start using pseudonyms, right? Or identify as women, right? It's like, oh, well, I'm only going to get published if I'm a woman. Okay, then I'm a woman now.
Transgender lesbian.
Yep, absolutely, right? And that became the new thing. So, you know, there's
said that. That would have been, wouldn't that?
Oh, that would have been beautiful.
We're actually, all three of us are all masculine presenting transgender lesbians, actually.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and the thing that's so great is that I'll get us out of here with this because this is a great story out of South Carolina. South Carolina elementary school teacher arrested after student picks marijuana edibles from reward box, says the cops. Victoria Farish Weiss is reportedly no longer employed with the school district. Now, Tim, we know she's not going to do time. She may not even be employed with that school district. She doesn't lose her license to teach because that would affect Wyman.
Hey, Drex, you're 18 years old and you give marijuana to a 16-year-old. What's going to happen to you?
Game over.
Game over.
Game over. Yep. Yep.
2 years.
Years. It was distribution of a controlled substance to a minor, right?
To a minor.
Done. To a minor. Done. Automatic. Now,
yeah.
We'll see if this what's her name? Victoria. Victoria will not spend a single day in jail, right? And this is the reason why I bring up this story, is that it says a South Carolina elementary school teacher was arrested after a student picked up a pack of marijuana edibles, which are illegal in the state, out of a reward box in her classroom, police said. Victoria Farish Weiss, 27, faces possession of a Schedule I drug charge. She turned herself, notice it's just that, not, look, possession, Tim, not distribution to minors, to children. Not trafficking.
You
nothing.
Would have caught a trafficking charge.
I would catch every case, right? I'd be catching mad cases if this was me. And here goes. She turned herself into authorities Friday, Lexington County Sheriff's Department said. Authorities opened an investigation into the matter on September 23rd after a report that a Rocky Creek Elementary School student picked up the cannabis-based product from the reward box. Detectives confirmed during interviews that Weiss took the pack of edibles from the student and told him to pick up something else from the box, right? The student then grabbed another pack of edibles. Let that sink in, right? And no students ate the products, he said. When authorities searched Weiss' home the next day, they found packs of edibles similar to the ones seen in her classroom. And this says, his quote is, marijuana edibles are cannabis-based food products. They come in many forms, but the items in this case were candy, Kuhn said. They're often packaged in wrappers and bags with logos and colors that look similar to traditional candy bars. And they say, while they are available in other states and online, they're illegal in South Carolina. The teacher's no longer there. Safety of students. And then, the principal and the school district does their run in their mouth, right?
Yeah.
The reason why I use this article, Tim, is because, as you pointed out numerous times, if this were a man, God forbid, a cis white man, right? A man, period. You're done. Right? Yep. And what this is that this is a lack of blame, lack of shame, lack of accountability. And because you know what it is, Tim? We in this country don't value anymore, like honesty, integrity, and these virtues. You know what we value? You know what we put above all else in this country? Narrative. We value narrative over fucking truth. And this is the consequence, right? This is the delusion. Like, oh no, Tim, trans women are real women. Okay, and then you see the result of what's happening when girls are getting their faces bashing in sports and all this stuff. And then...
But that's progress.
That's progress. Don't be a bigot. And the beauty of all this is that it's all collapsing, right? The economy, all of these things. And Tim, it's because we didn't value what mattered.
Drex, the inflation is going to make it for a pretty cold winter for a lot of single moms.
Oh, it's going to be cool. Get those foot pics ready. I want you, all you ladies out there, all you goddamn thoughts, get your pedicures early this year. Winter is coming. Get ready for them damn foot pics. OnlyFans is popping. So I ask all you people out there listening.
Swallowing is going to be very slutty this year.
Oh, yeah. They're going to thought it out. We ain't going to walk it out. They're going to thought it out. And I ask all of you guys out there, what do you value? What are your virtues that you most adhere to? And what solutions do you see? Let us know, because like I said, this supply chain has gone awry. Everything has kind of gone to shit because we don't put value in the things that matter. We have no virtues anymore, no nothing, not being on time, not being anything other than whining, complaining. Tim said a bad word and hurt my feelings. That's all we care about, right? A bunch of emotional bitch-made people.
But I can't get canceled because I am almost as oppressed. On the oppression scale, I think I'm even higher than Muslims.
Ooh, you might be. Yeah. You get to pull a card.
A masculine presenting transgender native.
Yep.
Is higher on the oppression scale than a gay Muslim.
Yeah. When I look at you, all I see is stunning and brave.
Yeah.
You have my deepest sympathies. Stunning and brave.
Yeah. See, this is why you can't hold me responsible for all those tech issues earlier. That's racist. You're imposing your colonialist view of how technology is supposed to work.
Oh, absolutely, man. This is why we troll these people. So, yeah, that's why I wanted to let you guys know. You have to beat them at their own game. And that's why I said, like, I look at what is happening as women are starting to get replaced, as they're starting to realize that winter is coming, as guys are starting to realize that maybe simping isn't the right way to go, maybe, oh shit, look, relationships all went to shit, Tim, and who's complaining the most? Well, both sides are complaining, but women are complaining more because they gain more from the relationship. So they're complaining. You hear a lot of people complaining. I'm here offering solutions to people, say, oh man, you got to do this. And this is how we got here. This is what it is, and this is a solution. But we all know, Tim, what did I say most people are going to do? They're going to deny it, right? They're going to ignore it. They're going to ignore the solutions and go right back to what they were doing before, right? The guys are going to go back to simping. The girls are going to go back to thotting.
I have a very racist white light above me. Lord of Simpson Cuck says I look too white. I actually don't. I look Mexican. People meet me. They're like, are you Mexican? Like, I'm pretty tan. But it's not showing up in the camera because I'm being flooded with white light right now.
White light?
Yep.
You have such internalized, light. You have internalized
racism.
Colonial racism.
See how easy it is? Just think of the most ridiculous thing to say and say it. And easy it is.
Yeah, you should come with this victim mentality. But that's all we got, man. Let us know what you guys think.
We don't have any emails or voicemails to go through. Had a couple new orders come through the official merchandise shop, so I'll plug that real quick. Visit MGTOWN.show/shop. Get all your merchandise. Starting October 31st, I think I'll be introducing a couple more items into the store. I got to work with our artists to... I want to get all the episode thumbnails, but we got to take the like episode whatever number out.
Mm-hmm.
And just have the thumbnails, and I think I can get a poster for every episode thumbnail available, and then you guys can just order a poster of your favorite thumbnails. Like I said, I've talked about some of my favorites, through this coming up on a year anniversary. Gets closer and closer every week, and Drex, when we hit 50, this show is going to be crying in the bathroom with a bottle of Xanax saying, it regrets focusing on its career.
Absolutely. Tim, I want you to think about something, man. Think about how many people fell into the programming, right? And what their life is going to be like. Because think about it. If you're a woman who hits 50, or if you're a guy who probably hits, I would say maybe like 65 to make it relevant, and you're a man who believed the lie, right? You were all about that blue pill life. You're a woman who believed the feminist lie. Can you imagine knowing that you're going to live another 20, 30 years, right? Like, you know it's over, right? And you're like, another 20, 30 years to live? Like, damn.
Yep.
That's got to be something, man. That's got to be heavy.
That's how a lot of either HMTs or self-eatings happen.
Yeah.
When reality hits you with like a pallet of bricks.
Dude, that reality is real, man. When you sit there and you've been denied it the whole time, like it's like you said, when you're a cuck in denial, right?
Yep.
Tim, I'm not a stepdad. I stepped up. And then all of a sudden, like you realize you pay for everything. You don't even get to smash your own wife. You got dudes coming through. You're holding a snack tray and recording her. And you're sitting there
meanwhile,
like...
Meanwhile, right? The kids go to high school or whatever, right? They're playing ball. They're playing football, and they say... Oh, you know, my mother at home, she's the reason I'm here today.
Yep, you get no credit.
Not even nothing.
You aren't valued, right? Just like this country doesn't value men and their sacrifices. So when you don't value somebody, Tim, they tend to check out, right? They're like either they leave, either, peacefully or violently.
You can't have that.
Yeah, oh, that's toxic.
The government's in full panic.
That's sad, man. I saw Koopa say teach people to leave the ghetto. Yeah, one of the things is that, like I said, the mentality is what infects a lot of people's minds, and people will leave a bad situation. And Tim, you see this in relationships, right? People will go back to like an abusive, terrible relationship over and over, right? And you're like, why though? They just can't help it. They're like conditioned to like they become attached to the suffering, right? They're like, I don't know why I keep going back to this guy, or I don't know why I keep going back to this girl. It's like, bro, like Johnny. Okay, Tim, if we were Johnny Depp's friends. After Amber Heard shit the bed, we would be like, bro, come on, man. If this isn't the sign to get out that something crazier is going to happen, you still got all your fingers, right? Get out. And it's up to you. It really is up to you if what you're going to preserve and what you're going to value in terms of moving forward. So that is that.
And there's so much going on with the show right now. I started finally putting some content up on MGTOWN Arcade. So I live stream on Twitch, and then I take the stream from Twitch and archive it on YouTube. So, hey, if you guys want to see Drexel playing NHL 22, or, well, I play NHL 22. Drexel's in NHL 22, right? He invades all the games, right? He was in Cyberpunk. Now he's in NHL 22. I don't know what's going on.
The one-to-one avatar of me in Cyberpunk was hilarious. Nick was the one that pointed that out. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
And I saw the dude. I'm like, oh my God.
It's also an emote here on this server, on our Discord server. That was legendary. That's the Drex activated emote. that picture. God, that was funny. But yeah, now Drex is in NHL 22 and I take control of him. You know, number 69 playing for the Seattle Kraken. And I was like, well, that's perfect.
Was D Savage.
Yeah.
I'm D Savage. Oh God. D Savage.
Number 69 for the Seattle Kraken. See, unlike football, you can wear whatever number you want in hockey. There's not like numbers reserved for
certain positions. Yeah. That was always ridiculous to me, but I get it. It's always ridiculous, though.
Yeah. Anyways, you guys know how to find us. You know how to support us. MGTOWN.show, patreon.com/MGTOWNpodcast, subscribestar.com/MGTOWN-podcast, youtube.com/MGTOWNpodcast, manosphere.tv/@MGTOWNpodcast. Always got to plug that alt tech. We're also on Odyssey. Huge shout out to Lord of Simpson Cucks for helping me with that. We do back up all of our stuff on Odyssey because, you know, when a day comes and Susan throws us off, you know, because she's lonely for her Drexy pie.
That chick.
You can still get our content on manosphere.tv or odyssey.com. I don't know what our slash, our URL is in Odyssey, but look it up. You can find it. You guys. Oh, also, I put all these links at the bottom of every episode, too. So just check the description of the YouTube video, and you'll find links to all this stuff. So we'll see you next week, guys. Stay frosty.
Hey, stay toxic. Peace.